Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 for starters. Verse 22, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety or a guarantee of a better covenant. So we know there's the old covenant, and then there's the new covenant. And here it's telling us that the new covenant is a much better covenant than the old covenant. Notice he says it again in chapter 8, in verse 6. But now he has obtained, talking about Jesus, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Under the old covenant, they had God's laws, they had God's ways written out for them, started out being written on stone by the finger of God in the presence of Moses. And then through Moses, God gave all kinds of laws and ordinances and so forth that the people were to obey. But under the new covenant, God says, I'm going to put my laws in them with my finger. I'm not going to write on stone. I'm going to write it on their hearts. And I am going to live in them. I'm going to dwell in them. And I'm going to be their God. And they're going to be my people. He says in verse 11, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. We can all know the Lord, not just know of him or know about him, but to know him. To know him intimately, to know him personally, to know his heart, to know what he's feeling, to know what his desires are. We can know him in this intimate way. Think about that. We're talking about God. God. To know him. To know him. He says, from the least of us to the greatest of us, we all shall know him. We all shall know him. Praise God. Really, there's no excuse for you and I today to not know God. Because through the new birth, through this new covenant, now God is in us. God lives in us. And so from within our very own being, he will instruct us. He will lead us. He will guide us. Man, this is the new covenant that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse 12, for I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Wow, hallelujah. When you come to Christ, when you come to the new covenant, you receive the new covenant that God has prepared for you, then all your old sins are are passed away, and all things now have become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Completely new. And he says, all the old stuff, I won't even remember it. All the sins, all the stupid stuff, negative, foolish things that you've done, I won't even remember it. Glory to God. What a promise we have. This is the covenant we have. Verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Chapter 9, verse 1, then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine services and an earthly sanctuary. He goes on, and notice here in, let's jump down to verse 20. Let's go to verse 19. Verse 18. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. Because that's the kind of covenant that God has made with us. The kind of covenant that we have is a blood covenant. A blood covenant. And so here he says, verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. So he's carrying out this ritual. God is, through Moses, of establishing a blood covenant with his people. He says in verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood. And without blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So notice that again, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood. Everything God did when making promises to his people and establishing a covenant with them, he sprinkled it with blood. It's the blood that seals God's promises to us, makes it a guarantee. And we have a covenant with God that has been sealed not with the blood of calves and goats and other animals. We've got a covenant with God that has been sealed with the blood of Jesus. Think about it. God has made a covenant with us, not just with the blood of animals. That was powerful. Think about how much power the children of Israel had under the old covenant. And that was all made official or guaranteed by the blood of animals. How much more is this new covenant guaranteed, being sealed by the blood of Jesus? It is an awesome thing. We're talking about the blood of the Son of God. Of God Almighty, his own blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Over here in chapter 9 again, in verse 11, it says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So after Jesus, that gives us a little insight of what happened after Jesus rose from the dead. after rising from the dead, he went before the true Holy of Holies, which was in heaven. You remember, God had given Moses instructions on how to build a tabernacle on the earth. And it was made of three different compartments. There was an outer court, an inner court, and then the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the Shekinah glory dwelt. And only once a year the high priest would go in there with the blood of the sacrificial animal on behalf of the sins of the people. And he would go in and bring that blood into that Holy of Holies, into this tabernacle that God had Moses make out there in the wilderness before they had entered the Promised Land. And Moses had made this having gotten the blueprints from visions that he saw of heaven. He received the pattern on how to build this tabernacle from heaven, because the tabernacle was a type of a real place in heaven, God's holy place, where God himself, God the Father, abides. And so just like the high priest once a year would bring the blood of those sacrificed animals into that Holy of Holies and present it before the ark, Jesus being our high priest, after he rose from the dead, that's exactly what he did. He came into the holiest of all. He came into the presence of Almighty God, and he presented his blood to the Father on behalf of all humanity for the forgiveness of all our sins. So no longer now is it just a type and shadow. Now Jesus is the substance. He's the real high priest that all the other high priests in Israel were patterned after. And all the blood sacrifices were just a type of the ultimate blood sacrifice, the blood of the Son of God that Jesus would present to the Father for the cleansing of all our sins. In fact, when Jesus rose from the dead that morning, you remember Mary saw him and she fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father," is what he told her. "Don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father." So we know right there, over the course of those 3 days, while his body was in the tomb, Jesus hadn't gone to the Father yet. He hadn't gone to the Father yet. No, he had gone down into the heart of the earth, and he had taken the full judgment for our sins upon himself in a place called hell, because that's where you and I were supposed to go. But thank God Jesus went there for us. Hallelujah. And then on the third day, early that morning, he rose from the dead. He stopped off because of his love and compassion for the disciples. And he tells Mary, he said, "Now don't touch me. I'm not done yet with this work of redemption." See, he still has to go into the Holy of Holies and present himself and his blood before Almighty God the Father. So he says, "Do not touch me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go tell the disciples that I've risen." Isn't he amazing? I mean, here he is just thinking about that, all that he's been through. And he stops and he steps out and appears to Mary and tells him, "Tell the disciples, I've risen. I've risen." And then he went off into heaven. She went back. She told him. And Jesus went before the Father and he finished his work of redemption for you and I by presenting his blood before the Father. And then that evening, he came and appeared to the disciples who were all fearful and hiding out in that upper room. So the blood of Jesus, how precious, how powerful is this blood? And notice again here, chapter 9, verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? How much more will the blood of Christ be effective on our behalf? If the children of Israel could have their wicked sins covered by the blood of those animals so that God would overlook their sins, how much more will the blood of Jesus not just cover our sins, but purge and cleanse us from all sin? Purge and cleanse. See, under the old covenant, they just had their sins covered. You know, it's kind of like, you know, companies coming over, and you don't have a whole lot of time to clean this place. So, you know, you just start taking stuff and shoving it in the closet, you know. You lift up the carpet and sweep some stuff under there. Huh? And the people come over and go, oh, what a nice house. It's a beautiful place. Very nice place to live. You keep a very nice house. It's all been covered. It's all been covered up. Right? But with Jesus, it's not all covered up. It's gone. Everything's gathered up, taken out to the trash, and burned up. It's annihilated. Hallelujah. They had a covering under the old through the blood of animals. You and I have a cleansing through the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood cleanses us. Look at verse 14 again. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge. My margin says for that word purge, it could also be translated cleanse. Cleanse what? Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Cleanse your conscience. You know, the Bible says by faith and a good conscience, we obtain the promises. We lay hold of those promises, or we can say, what is our covenant rights and privileges? Because that's what those promises are. Every promise of God is our covenant right and privilege. And it's through faith and a good conscience that we can lay hold on these things. We can lay hold on eternal life. Not just faith. You got to have a good conscience. Well, how can I have a good conscience? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Notice again, the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your, or cleanse your conscience from dead works. That's what sin is. Sin is a bunch of dead works. Just produces death. It's dead. Not going to have any eternal value to it. Has no true life to it. That's why we don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. The more we get a hold of how sin is dead, and sin just produces death, and there's nothing of life that comes from it, has no eternal value to it, man, the less you'll be tempted by it. I said the less you'll be tempted by it. Temptation loses its grip on your life as you grow in your faith in the blood of Jesus, and how worthless sin is. How worthless sin is. And you grow in your revelation of how worthless sin is. Every time you repent of sin. Because the only reason why you would have sinned is because you didn't realize how worthless it was. And you thought it was something worth pursuing, and so you went ahead and yielded to it, gave yourself to it, and then recognized how worthless it is and repented of it. And when you repented of it, you were not only forgiven of it, but you were cleansed of it. Notice, hold your place here and go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins. Now, who's this written to? It's written to us. It's written to the church. If we who've been saved, been born again. But if we miss it and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So notice, he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But now if we mix that over here with Hebrews 9:14, what's he cleansing us from? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? But notice what he says again, verse 14 of Hebrews 9. That through Jesus, God would purge your, or cleanse your conscience from dead works. Or we could say, from all unrighteousness. Cleanse your conscience. Cleanse your conscience. So when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse your conscience of all unrighteousness. Purge your conscience from all unrighteousness so that, praise God, there is no sense of guilt or inferiority about you whatsoever. You can come before God confidently because you know you've been purged. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That blood has cleansed me, purged me, and enabled me to be able to stand before my God confidently so that I can exercise my faith in my covenant rights and privileges and receive everything God's got for me. Got to have a clean conscience. But that's what's so powerful under the new covenant, having the blood of Jesus. We understand the power of that blood, that it annihilates, purges, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. So that we don't have to carry it around anymore. We just confess, praise God. As part of my covenant right and privilege, I can come and confess my sins. And so I come and confess my sins, and praise God, I receive as my covenant right and privilege the cleansing of that sin right now. I am completely cleansed of that. It is no longer a part of my conscience. I don't worry about it anymore. I don't carry that around with me anymore. I'm not walking around my head hung, feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, praise God, because I got confidence in the blood of Jesus. Woo! Friend, I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians, they do not have the kind of confidence they need to have in the blood of Jesus. So many walk around in condemnation. So many walk around in guilt. So many walk around in shame because they don't understand the purging power of the blood of Jesus. Everybody say, the blood of Christ cleanses us. Notice here, we're here in 1 John chapter 1. Go back here to verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, well, now we know for sure he's talking about believers, because Christians, people that are outside Christ, can't walk in the light. They're in the kingdom of darkness. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses our conscience from all sin so that our faith is not defiled. See, a lot of folks, they get in faith about Jesus, they believe in Jesus, they get saved, but then they don't continue on with him. Their faith becomes defiled because of their dead works, because of their sins, not having confidence in that Christ's blood cleanses them of all sin, their faith becomes defiled. And they live the Christian life weak in faith. And if they continue in that long enough, after a while, many completely fall away from Christ because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel like, I can't do this. They look at all their faults. They look at their track record as a Christian and all their mess ups and all their stumblings. And they think, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've had people look at me and say, I can't do it. And the problem is, they don't understand the power of the blood. They don't understand the power of the blood. They're still carrying around their past history of mess ups. So when they mess up again, it just adds to the pile. But when you have confidence in the blood of Jesus, then and you fall down, but get back up and repent, confess it to the Lord, He forgives you and He cleanses your conscience clean of it. It is gone. It is annihilated. So that if you were to fall in that same area again, it's like the first time you fell. It's like the first time you failed. And meanwhile, according to the devil who's trying to keep track of things, you know, he's done that 100 times. It's quite obvious you're not going to get this. You haven't figured this thing out. You might as well quit on God. You can't be a good Christian. You can't walk this faith walk. It's too hard. You can't do it. You've tried and tried again. And here you are, the 100th time. And then the little Christian goes, I can't do it. I can't do it. And what that Christian should do, say 100 times, I don't see any zeros behind that one. This is the only time I remember. I ain't thinking about anything else. I've confessed all that mess. That's been purged. That's been cleansed. It's as though it never happened. No, this is the only time I've messed up. And I come to you right now, Lord, and ask you to forgive me for that. Oh, that's gone. Clean record. Hallelujah. The blood. Whoo, praise God. The blood just washed it away. I got a clean record. How's your record today? How's your record? You should have a clean record. There shouldn't be a person in here that should have one single sin hanging over their life. If you know you've missed it or you're missing it, you repent. You turn to God, you confess it to Him, and bless the Lord, you are forgiven. Your conscience is cleansed. Because why? He does not remember it anymore. Why should you? Why should you? When you understand He doesn't remember anymore, then why would you remember it and carry it around in your conscience? Friend, it's a new day. A righteous man may fall 7 times in one day, but he'll get up again. He'll get up again. Hallelujah. You just get up and you get cleansed. And there's no reason that we should go through any day of our life burdened down with sin. Sins of the past. So many Christians can't get any traction and move forward because they're stuck. Their wheels are spinning in the slime of their past. The slime of their past. I just can't get out of this rut. I just can't get out of this rut. Well, why don't we just repent? And that'll get you right out of it. Praise God. And if you turn around and you immediately fall again, then I would advise getting up and repenting again. Don't stay in the slimy pit spinning your wheels. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And as you confess it, as you repent, you'll begin to see how worthless those sins are. And you'll grow up strong in faith because nothing's defiling your faith. Because you're not letting anything defile your faith. Because you repent of sin. Right? And then you just get to the point where that sin don't even tempt you anymore. It doesn't even mess with me anymore. Now, Pastor, you know, I believe that. But you don't know how long this has been messed with me. See, there you go again. You've got a track record. You're carrying a track record around of how long. You've got a history book of all your sins and how long it's been. Friend, it's a new day. His mercy's anew every morning. It's a new day. Praise God. Get up. Get up. Let's move on, church. Let's not stay stuck in the slimy past. That's not me anymore. When I confessed it, I was forgiven of it. It was forgotten. God forgot it. You know, God's able to do all things. You know that, don't you? So if God wants to delete something out of his memory, how many people know he can do that? He can do that. God can just go, you know what? I'm not going to remember that anymore. Gone. You stand before him and say, God, I know. I did this. I did that. He's like, he's having a bad case of amnesia. God's like, Michael, take out his book. What is there anything written about it about him in that book? No, that's not in there. What he's talking about, it's not in the book. You got to have that kind of confidence. Somebody say, I believe in the blood. The blood of Jesus. Hold your place in Hebrews. Go to Revelation chapter 1. The blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. See, he's the firstborn from the dead. There's other folks that have been born from the dead. Born again. Born again. That's you and me. Jesus had to be born again. Did you know that? Yeah, because he had to die. He died spiritually, having become, his old man had become sin for us. And so Jesus literally died on that cross, not just physically, but he died spiritually and descended down into hell. But praise God, on the third day he was born again. He's the firstborn from the dead. That's why he's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we're all born again brothers. Jesus is our born again brother, firstborn from the dead. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. Notice what he did for us. He loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. His blood washes. His blood purges. His blood cleanses. Glory to God. Have you been washed? Have you been purged? Have you been cleansed? Devil gets so nervous when you start talking about these things. One thing he does not want you to get a hold of is revelation of the blood. So he'll come with poppies. And he'll go around and he'll say, poppies will put them to sleep. Right about the time the pastor's talking about the blood, you start to feel heavy and you forget the purpose for why you came here. And you can't hear what I'm saying. And you're like Motel 6. Your lights are on, but you're not there. Your eyes are open. Your head on a spring nods, but you're not there. You need revelation of the blood. I said, you need revelation of the blood of Jesus. Woo, glory to God. It purges us, cleanses us, washes us. Have you bathed lately? Have you been washed? Thank God, if you need to be, you can be. You can be. And you can walk out of the shower of God's blood completely clean, squeaky clean, squeaky clean, refreshed and revived and ready to move on. You don't get out of a shower and start talking about the dirt that just got washed off you, right? You don't go back in there and start looking down the drain. Take a fish hook and try to get down there in the drain. Try to bring some stuff back up. Oh, thank God it goes down the drain. Let it go down the drain. Hallelujah. Sometimes the devil will try to clog it up. Tries to cause it to back up. But oh, thank God for the Drano of the Word. Come on. For the Drano of the Word. And gone. Gone. Smell and all. Gone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, a backed up drain, you know, it could be pretty smelly. Anyway, thank God. Notice over here, Revelation, we're there. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. This is now heaven. You understand we're in heaven. Now we're getting a glimpse into heaven. And they, the saints that have gone on to be with the Lord, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Are you a king and priest? Well, think about it, man. If you don't have any sin, if there's no sin and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and your conscience is clean and there's no guilt or feeling of inferiority when you stand before God, friend, you are a powerful human being. You are a powerful human being in this world. You're a king. You're a priest. A priest that's able to approach God confidently. To come in before the Lord, to communicate with the Lord, to worship the Lord without any condemnation, without any, well, I can't really lift my hands and worship him. I just feel so dirty. I just feel so unrighteous. I pitched a fit coming in here this morning. I hit that speed bump. It hit my head, and I didn't act right. And now here I am. How can I worship God? But did you repent? Well, I kind of did. That's like saying, honey, I'm going to go take a shower and take out a water gun and hit yourself a couple times. I kind of did. Take a shower? Well, I kind of did. Did you take a shower? Shh. Get cleansed. Do it right away. Why carry it around? Why give any place to the devil? Why let the devil smell sin on you? Huh? Just get washed up right away. Praise God. Now, so you can come right in there. Glory. Hallelujah. As a priest of the Most High God, as a king, as a ruler, as an ambassador of Christ, as a leader in this world, in spiritual things. That's who you are. That's who you're to be. And this is what they're saying in heaven. Hallelujah. These are folks that have reigned on the earth, ruled on the earth, and they're coming back and they're going to reign some more with Christ in the days to come. And notice, they're singing about it. Verse 9, and they sang a new song. What's the song about? How the blood has redeemed them. How the blood, you have redeemed us by your blood. You have bought us back. That means to redeem. You have bought us back from sin. You have bought us back from the devil. You have purchased us with your own blood. You paid for us. You bought us. And we belong to you now, God. You've redeemed us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Shout at the devil, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Glory be to it with the saints of heaven. Shout, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're singing about it in heaven. We need to be singing about it here on the earth. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed by what? By the blood. By the blood of the Lamb. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things or perishable things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice again, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You've been redeemed by the precious blood. Christ's blood redeems you and I. Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Think about it. God bought you. You know why? Because you didn't belong to him. Well, everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to God. He can do whatever he wants, whatever he wants to do. It's all his stuff anyway. No, that's not Bible. That's not the truth. God couldn't just forgive you. God couldn't just invade your life and do whatever he wanted to do in your life. He had to buy you. He had to purchase you. He had to pay for you. And he paid for you with his blood. That's how much you're worth to him. You know, you wouldn't pay a lot of money for something that isn't worth much to you, would you? You wouldn't pay a lot of money for something that isn't worth it to you. You'd only pay a lot for something that's worth a lot to you. God shows how he values your life by what he paid for you with. He didn't just pay for you with some silver and gold or some things. He paid for you with his own blood, which is his own life, which means you're as worth as much to God as God is to himself. In other words, God values you as much as he values himself. He set the value for you, your price tag, at the price of God. Whatever God's worth, that's what you're worth. Because God paid for you with himself, with his own life. So you're as valuable as God is in this creation. You're as valuable as God is in this creation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, I am valuable to God. Yeah, he values you the same as himself. Wow. He doesn't look down at you as a lesser. He's just wanting you to get your mind renewed and get caught up to how he thinks about you. He wants you to begin to recognize and value your own life as much as he values your life. And then again, coming back to sin, there'll be a lot of things that you'll look at and go, I'm above that. I'm better than that. I'm worth more than that. I ain't selling out my life. I'm not selling out the call of God. I'm not selling out my name and my reputation. I'm not selling out to some petty, cheap, worthless sin. The value for that doesn't even come close to my value. It has no right even being in my presence, in my thoughts. Has no right to even be in my thoughts. That's how far above I am to those things, those sinful things of this world. You're that far up. You're that high up. God knows that. We need to know that. When we know that, then we'll act like that. Then we'll walk like that, right? Then we'll walk in the light, praise God. And when you're walking in the light, there's no fear of stumbling. I'm trying. I'm so afraid I'm going to mess up again. Walk in the light. You'll be able to see every little bump in the road. You'll see the end table. Just do it in the light. In the light of the revelations that you're hearing this morning, that God's getting over to you this morning. Who you are and your value and how much higher you are in comparison to those things. You deserve better. I'm so unworthy. Don't say that. The blood of Jesus has made you worthy. You are worthy. The blood has made you worthy. The blood has made you righteous. The blood has redeemed your life from destruction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I've been purchased. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. One more thing. Colossians chapter 1. I've got a lot more. We can't get to it all today because we want to receive communion this morning. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable. That's beyond reproach or beyond accusation in his sight. Man, nobody can accuse you of anything. We are so beyond reproach. We are irreproachable. Irreproachable. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He has justified us. He has himself declared us righteous. Through his blood, he has thoroughly washed us. Now we stand completely faultless. And you can't accuse us of anything. No devil can accuse you of anything. After you repent, if you miss it, you stand up and say, man, I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed. And if the devil tries to reproach you, tries to accuse you, you need to turn right around and declare, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am irreproachable in his sight. You can't accuse me of nothing. Woo! Can't accuse me of nothing. Innocent. Innocent. The more the devil tries to find something against you and attacks you, the more he's sealing his own fate. He's just getting himself in more trouble. Because he who digs a pit, will he himself fall into it? Glory be to God, because I got faith in the blood. And when you got faith in the blood, you don't fall in any of the devil's pits. His slime pits. You don't fall in them, you don't dwell in them, you don't stay in them. Praise God, you move on and move out and move up. Somebody say, I'm moving up to higher places in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Here he's telling us we've got peace. Peace through the blood. Through the blood. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Wow. We should be the most peaceful, unruffled people on the face of the earth. The blood has made us irreproachable. And the blood has given us peace with God. Peace that surpasses all understanding. If you know you got peace with God, then baby, you got peace in life. You understand what I'm saying? If you know you got peace with God, then you got peace in life. Huh? Somebody nagging, someone whining, someone accusing? You're going to worry about their little accusations when you know God looks at you as irreproachable, beyond reproach, beyond fault? and clean in his sight? Well, when you know it's good with you and God, life's good. What are people that you get all uptight? This peace that I have, the blood gave it, the world didn't, and therefore the world can't take it away. Can you say amen? Say, the blood has cleansed me, purged me, washed me, cleansed my conscience. It's redeemed me, bought me, paid for me, given me peace, and made me irreproachable in God's sight. And the list goes on. Believe me, the list goes on. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. Come on, let's stand on our feet. They're singing about it in heaven. Let's thank them here on earth right now. Let's just praise them right now.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.